Hi, everybody. The George Wilder Jr. Show is now on the air.
This is what I call freedom. Well, I wanna say, I wanna tell you, I wanna say it. When you can do what you wanna do and go where you wanna go and live where you wanna live and love who you wanna love and be what you wanna be. Joy, what you wanna join.
This is Chicago's finest internet radio show, making a world a better place, one show at a time. The George Wilder Jr. Show is now on the air. Take it away, Dad.
All right, welcome to the George Wilder Jr. Show.
Thank you.
Okay, all right. Welcome to the George Wilder Jr. Show, broadcasting live out of the city of Chicago. It looks like it's going to rain, but it's been beautiful. I don't think it quite got 90 in the city of Chicago like everybody was saying, but it was very, very pleasant, and it was, so far it's been a great day, put it that way. So far it's been a great day. And it's just beautiful out. This is a great evening, folks. It's a great evening. And I hope it's great wherever you are in the world. I hope it's great where you are weather-wise and everything else. Okay. Jeff Sessions is on the hot seat today. He's in Congress on Capitol Hill testifying, if you could call it testifying, because it appears he's been sitting for hours and hours and hours and not saying nothing, not answering any questions. stonewalling, as one of the questioners probably would say. Sessions, Mr. Stonewall. I mean, he's not saying anything. Why? I mean, if you're not going to say anything, why would you go sit for hours and hours and sweat and not say anything? Obviously, these people got something to hide. He's not talking. He's not saying. He's not answering questions. And it's always that. It's always that I can't recall. I mean, that just drives you nuts. I mean, several times I can't recall. I mean, that's a good way of avoiding perjury, lying. That's a good way of saying I can't recall. That way they can't say you're lying because you don't remember. You know, it's what these Republicans pull out of their asses whenever they need it. I can't recall. Or they'll pull, I'm going to take the fifth. Or they'll pull, he's the president of the United States. Our conversations are confidential. Not when there's a criminal investigation going on. When there's a criminal investigation going on, required to answer questions, not talk around the questions, not talk above it, not say what you want to say, but answer the questions. And these politicians in Washington today, they will not answer questions. And they'll give you the answer or say what they want to say and expect for you to move on to the next question. And they are not going to say anything. You know, I mean, if you want some of these guys to answer questions involving something that's criminal, you're going to almost have to lock them up, threaten them with going to jail. And still and all, they may not answer the damn question because they are so in the muck themselves. He doesn't want to incriminate himself. That's what it is. With this, I don't recall, or I can't remember, or I'm protecting the president and all of this kind of thing. He's right there in the muck with Donald Trump. And earlier they were saying that Donald Trump was going to fire the special prosecutor. I mean, if he did something like that, I think that this man would see his last days in the White House. They're just making a mockery of the White House, folks. I mean, you've got Donald Trump's cabinet picks. I don't know, maybe 10 or 15 people were there at the White House. And this was all on television. You might have heard it. It was all on television. These people were just praising Donald Trump. I mean, they were just, I mean, it was sickening. They were acting if they were puppets or peasants. And they were just kissing his feet left and right. I mean, they were just, you have been the greatest that I've ever worked for. You are. And they were saying these kind of stuff, holding their head down, folding their arms or something, as if they were being forced to say that Donald Trump was a great man. And this is what Donald Trump is like. He wants you to praise him. He wants loyalty. Great things about him, even though he's a piece of garbage. And how can these people who most of them are rich, if not close to being rich, sitting on national TV praising a man that is a clown, a buffoon, doesn't know what the hell he's doing. They don't know what they're doing. They've just, in my opinion, these people have just made a mockery of the White House. Kellyanne Conway, Sean Spicer. These are some more people who do not answer questions, a direct question. They'll talk above it. They'll say what they want to say. They'll talk around it. And if you don't watch it, you realize that if you're not listening, you realize that they're not answering the question. And they, you know, I would not, I don't know why some of these talk shows on cable and network TV let these people on. When they know these people are going to lie, they're not going to answer the question. You know, why spend? I mean, if you, like, let's say Capitol Hill, Jeff Sessions, and you got the Intelligence Committee, you know, on Capitol Hill. I mean, you've wasted all of these people's time. You're not going to answer a question. Why in the hell you show up? Why in the hell did they show up? You know, so, and you're wasting the time of the American people. Now, there should be some sort of consequence for him Jeff Sessions for not answering questions on Cap. I didn't watch the hearings because after Comey, I said, no, I don't want to watch the rest of these guys. They're not going to tell the truth. They're going to beat around the bush. And they have. I didn't watch it. I'm not going to watch it one if Trump gives one. I'm not going to watch it. And I've heard that Trump has backed down. He's not going to give any testimony. I couldn't care less. But Trump knows not to give any testimony, especially if he's under the penalty of perjury, because he will surely go to jail or be ousted, you know, because he's going to lie his ass off. Trump is a pathological liar. He can't help himself. But Jeff Sessions, the attorney general, he may still be talking at this juncture. But, you know, I said, I'm not going to listen or watch. I'm not going to waste my time that way. I got better things to do with my time, to sit down and watch for hours somebody being questioned and the person being questioned not answering the questions, pulling something out of his ass to give a reason being forthright with the committee or with the American people of the United States, where he is getting his salary. And this is just pathetic. It's more Donald Trump influence on these people who are gladly and pathetically kissing his ass, something he wants. Donald Trump lied when he said that Comey did not, he did not ask Comey for loyalty, using the word loyalty. Totally lie. Because you saw it today in that television clip or from the White House, whereas everybody was, I'm assuming it was Oval Office, everybody sitting around the table and one by one praising Trump like he was some sort of king, like he was their lord and master. Trump put this crap out on the air so everybody around the world can see it. It was pathetic to see grown-ass people, rich people, people with their own lives praising some guy with orange hair who talks about grabbing women's private part, who is being sued three or four times over and has been sued. Bankruptcy after bankruptcy, deferment after deferment, lies after lie after lie after lie. And they're sitting there praising this guy as if they're peasants and he's their king. He's their lord and master. He's the emperor of the White House. And Donald Trump acts like he works for himself. He does not work for himself. He works for the American people. He works for us, regardless if we voted for him or not. He votes and represents every American individual out here. But you look at these folks and you say to yourself, they represent themselves. They don't represent us. And that's right. They represent themselves. Donald Trump represents only partial America, those who voted for him and those who are still kissing his ass. Those are the people he votes for. People who disagree with him, people who don't like him. He gives you the finger. he gives you the finger. Donald Trump cannot get anything done policy-wise, legislatively, until this mess is beyond him. And Sessions not answering questions is this thing. It's going to prolong it. The longer he don't answer questions, the longer this investigation is going on. I'm pretty sure a lot of the people in Donald Trump's circle who are part of this investigation are doing some of the same things. Well, like saying, I don't recall, or I can't remember, or I'm not sure of that. Yeah, this is stonewalling. This is not answering a question. I mean, you say that every time a question is asked. You have to say to yourself, what is this guy hiding? What is he doesn't want us to know? They're trying to protect themselves against penalty of perjury. By saying, I don't know, I can't recall, which is ridiculous. Wow, I'll testify in a public hearing, but I'm not going to say anything anyway. I'm going to testify. I'll sit there for hours and hours, and you can ask me all the questions you want, but I will not say anything. And this is what's happening. He's not saying anything. And people are going to be pissed off. You wasted their time for 2 or 3 hours and you not saying anything at all. I can't recall. That's one that they pull on their ass. I can't recall. I don't know. Well, I'm not going to answer that. I'm taking the fifth. Or the conversations that I've had with the president is confidential, and I'm not going to say anything. I don't know, man. But, you know, this is going to keep going on. And they hold, okay, they hold America and the American public in complete contempt. They do. They hold us in complete contempt. This White House is something like nothing that's ever been in history. And the reason why I keep talking about this every day is because I'm an American, I'm a voter, and, you know, I pay my taxes. I have a right to a decent, level-headed White House. But these people are taking the White House to the sewer, literally. I mean, you got some sewer people in the White House. You got some awful people running the White House. You got some awful people trying to tell us what's right and what's not, and we should agree with them. Donald Trump is still collecting money from his businesses. You know, he's got his relatives. He got all of them doing work or jobs in the White House. You know, I mean, this is crazy. This is crazy. And the Republicans are letting this happen. They are letting this happen. They are letting this guy get away with defaming and bemuddling of America. And this is all he's doing. And they're letting, so this is going to be on the Republicans. I mean, in the House of Representatives, it's going to be on them because they have the power to stop this, but they won't. They're letting this madness go on. The reason why they're letting this madness go on, they want to keep Trump in the White House because they want Trump to help them get their agenda through Congress. They know if, but still in all, they have Mike Pence. They shouldn't have a problem with that. Mike Pence is just as guilty as Jeff Sessions when it comes to Russia and everything else that they are trying to hide and being tight-lipped about. It's just awful. It's awful. Okay. Attorney General. Okay, Jeff Sessions insists he's not stonewalling, but he's not answering questions. What the hell else if you're doing if you're not answering questions? He says, I'm protecting the right of the president to assert executive privilege if he chooses. You are under the penalty of perjury, and that's he's protecting himself. You know, there's no doubt about that. Okay, Attorney General Jeff Sessions repeatedly refused to answer questions before the Senate Intelligence Committee today, Tuesday, not because he or the President Donald Trump were asserting executive privilege, but in case the president might want to do so in the future. This is crazy. The future, we're not talking about the future, Mr. Jeff Sessions. We're talking about right now. Right now, as the American people sit in judgment against you. This guy looks like he's guilty as all out sin, you know, and okay. I'm quoting him here. I'm protecting the right of the president to assert if he chooses. Assert what? Donald Trump is a crook, a liar, a pathological liar, a thug, a bully. The attorney general, a longtime Trump ally, said himself could not invoke the executive privilege to refrain from discussing certain matters related to the executive branch and the president. He said that Trump could do so if he chose, but that the president had not done so. So why is he not talking? You know, why is he not talking? I mean, there were times when Comey was being questioned by the same committee. He answered questions. He didn't answer everything that they had that they asked because there was an investigation going on. So that was sort of kind of understanding. But he did answer a lot of things. He did say a lot of things. These guys, aren't saying anything. I mean, it was four guys the other day before Comey decided to testify. Before that, it was four officials being peppered with questions by the committee a few days before. And it was four of them. And not one of them assholes answered any questions. Not one. Not one of them answered questions. This has been the Republicans' MO forever, not to answer questions. Even when they go on some of these cable shows trying to defend the president, the moderator has all of these questions asked, they will not ask the question, and they will stick to not answering questions. So my thinking is that a lot of these talk shows and cable network shows and should stop having these people on. If these people are not going to answer a direct question, if they're going to come on and just throw out lies and not answer a direct question, don't have them on. A lot of these people come on some of these shows and they try to take over these shows. They try to embarrass the moderator, the questioner who's just asking a question. You know, they should not be coming on the show. Now, I have a little show here, but I would never want Kellyanne Conway on the show. I would never want Sean Spicer on the show. I would never want Jeff Sessions on the show because these people are not going to do the right thing. They're going to try to embarrass me more for asking a question than ever trying to answer a simple yes or no question. Yes or no. These people have a hard time with yes or no. I mean, they really do. And if you try to badger them to answer the question yes or no, they're going to get pissed. They're going to get pissed off. You know, so this is the world we live in with Donald Trump. I mean, they were saying, you know, I mean, even before Donald Trump became president, some of these Republicans were going on some of these Sunday shows, Meet the Press and all of this kind of stuff. And not answering a direct question. You know, just saying what they want to say because they are in power and they're on TV and they're getting the big bucks. And that was it, you know. So Sessions repeatedly declined to talk about his past conversations with Trump and top officials, even while claiming he wasn't invoking executive privilege. So in that instance, he has no right to invoke executive privilege. He's protecting his boss. He's protecting his lord and master. He's protecting his lord and master that he's a peasant in front of, a peasant. And that's what Donald Trump treats the people in his circle. He treats them like peasants. He yells, he screams, he barks out orders, he's unhinged. He does all of this stuff around the White House. We've got these assholes in the White House. It's a shame. As you can probably see and hear that I'm no fan of Donald Trump. I've tried to be. But his antics, what he does, what he says, how he acts is just being a pathological liar. You know, I mean, hey, you know, I mean, when he first became elected, I was just saying, you know, I didn't vote for him. Okay. I did not vote for him, but, I did not want to see him in the White House. Okay. But, you know, somehow he found himself there and, I said, hey, well, I'll give him a chance. But after 2 or 3 months, 5 months, I'm following this and hearing this, that no, he has to go. But that is up to the House of Representatives. Even though a senator or two have drawn up papers of impeachment for this guy, which I don't think is going to go anywhere. You know, anywhere. A Democrat drawn up papers of impeachment for this guy, which I think is deservingly so, but it's not going to go nowhere because the Republicans are dead behind and supporting this guy over the wishes of their constituency. Majority of the way over a majority of the American people want to see Trump out of office. Even the constituency of some of the Republicans in Congress want to see Trump out of office. But, you know, the Republicans in Congress, they are sticking to their party, sticking to doing what their party want them to do, sticking to doing what their party bosses want them to do, instead of they're ignoring all the people who put their asses in office, gave them their great health care, and gave them their great salary. So we mean nothing to those guys in Washington, nothing whatsoever. But they're going to start spinning and lying about this when it gets close to November 2018, because they're going to want to try and keep their jobs. I think they've already lost their jobs. I think majority of the Republicans with these angry constituencies that show up at the town halls where the Republicans themselves don't show up because they're afraid and scared and cowardly. I think a lot of these people have lost their jobs. And it's a good thing, because we do want change in the White House. Even if Donald Trump is is president during those times, 2018, if we vote a lot of these people out, give him a Democratic Congress, he can't get anything passed. He will be impeached. Impeached doesn't mean he's going to be ran out of office. You know, he could still be president while being impeached. However, by the House of Representatives. However, if the House of Representatives impeach him, and this impeachment bill go to the Senate, and they rule to impeach him also, then hey, wow. And this could happen right now, but the Republicans are just in the House of Representatives. They're just peasants to this man, to this guy, and they don't seem to care about being a Donald Trump peasant. But I can tell you, I'm not. I don't think you are. But these Republicans in the House of Representatives, they are gladly sucking Donald Trump's toe. I mean, they're bending over backwards to kiss his butt. There is no doubt about that. And that's just shame on America. That's embarrassing. But they seem like they just don't care. That's embarrassing. Other countries are seeing this and laughing their butts off. And I don't blame him. And the Republicans are just taking the country, taking America down into the sewer and the swamp and the gutter to where they are. But you know what I think, folks? You know what I think? I think this is just temporary. You know, once we, if we do the right thing and vote some of these people out, we can begin to repair America's status in the world. But right now it is on life support. It really is. We've got a bunch of corrupt. Donald Trump is not the only person in Washington that are corrupt. You've got a lot of these representatives and senators. They're just as corrupt because they're letting this go on. They could do something about this, but they refuse to do anything about that. They want to be puppets. They want to be peasants. They want to be ass kissers to some guy who doesn't know what the hell he's doing as president of the United States. Can't get any legislation passed right now. He can't get anything to pass. Healthcare, his budget, which are two things which are detrimental to America. He can't get anything through Congress right now because he's being investigated on several investigations. They're all over the place now. And Jeff Sessions not answering questions makes it a lot worse. You know, Jeff Sessions not answering questions make it a lot worse. You've been listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Blog Talk Radio.
was first reported by the New York Times, the president said this, and I'm quoting.
The wealthiest family in America gets a $52 billion tax break as a result of the appeal of the estate tax.
That's correct.
Tell the American people why you think that's good when you cut Medicaid and you cut programs for kids.
We don't cut Medicaid. We're talking about repealing Obamacare. The results
that you
mentioned.
Throwing 23 million people off of health insurance. That's right.
The which is a CBO number that I think you just agreed could be wrong.
I didn't agree to that at all.
Listen, if he said, did he say we don't cut Medicaid?
Yes.
That is just a lie. That is a certifiable lie. Now, listen, you can debate the 23 million number. You really can. I mean, you can debate, or maybe that's people that choose not to be on accepted. I understand those arguments, right? I disagree with them, but I understand them. But $850 billion is real. Those are real cuts. Why does he keep lying? Why do the Republicans keep looking into cameras and lie?
Because
who do they think is stupid enough that you can't read the numbers in the Wall Street Journal? Okay, maybe you call this fake news. You can't call this fake news if you're conservative. It's very clear you're cutting $850 billion in Medicaid for the poorest of the poor. If you want to do it, embrace it. Don't lie about it. Stop lying about it. We know you're lying about it. We're not stupid. And you Republicans in the House have been lying nonstop about what you're not going to cut and who's not going to lose health coverage. Okay? We're not dumb. I understand. There has been a coarsening of political culture. I understand that Donald Trump lies all the time. And you're thinking he got away with it, right? And so you can get away with lying? You can't. All right? It's just like Bill Clinton. David Geffen was right. He was an unusually good liar. Bill Clinton somehow survived being a liar and lying every day. Hillary couldn't. You can't. Stop with a coarsening of political culture, okay? You know what the meaning of is, and you know what $850 billion is. So do not go to Capitol Hill and lie through your teeth every day. That's all I got to say. It is so maddening. This is my party. My party is going straight to hell politically. They really are. They're going straight to hell. They have embraced the coarsening of culture where the truth means absolutely nothing. Conservative values mean absolutely nothing. Our traditional allies that have stood by us shoulder to shoulder, bleeding and dying, scaling the cliffs of Normandy to free a continent, that means nothing to these people. They will embrace Vladimir Putin and Russia if Donald Trump does. Again, I know Democrats don't like me saying this, but this guy was a Democrat his entire life until he discovered birtherism in 2011. He gave money to Chuck Schumer in 2010. Why do you sell your soul? And not just your political soul, you are selling your soul if you just keep lying about things that you know are not true.
Joe, the president is the behavior in chief, and that's where this starts. You have a guy who has made over 440 lies since he's been in office. He is setting the agenda. And the scary thing about these numbers, you know, if you're 64 and poor, right now you pay $1,700 a year, $1,700 in premiums. You will go up to $13,000. Think about this. Somebody at home who's 64 and is in middle class or below, that's 8 times the number. But yet, if you ask them and confront them, the answer is no. And the answer is they do assume the American public is stupid. That is the assumption. Starting with Donald Trump, he sits across from every human being and says, I'm smarter than you, and I can say anything.
And how ironic it is that he says that.
Yeah.
What about the words of Douglas MacArthur? Duty, honor, country. Where does that fit in here? Again, I'm not talking about ideology. Be as conservative as you want. If you want to abolish Medicaid, then just say you do and explain to us why. But just tell us the truth. Stop lying.
All right. You've been listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Blog Talk Radio, folks. It's a pleasant day in the city of Chicago. I'm glad that you're here. Follow me on Facebook, Google. I'm all over the place, so there's no way you cannot find me. I'm so easily to be found. You can always drop me an email or inbox me, and you know about what's going on the show, and you know any kind of questions that you have. I will try and to be really, really upfront about it. All right, let's go to hit the microphone here. All right, you're on the George Wilder Jr. Show. Go right ahead.
Hello.
You're on.
Good.
Hi, how you doing?
What is good evening? This is Helmut Lea, Intimate Power.
Yeah, great. Okay. This is the George Wilder Jr. Show. Thank you for coming on. I do have you booked for today. And you're going to be talking about sexual empowerment, if I'm right on that.
Yes, we are going to talk about sexual empowerment and a lot of juicy things.
Okay, alrighty. Okay, tell my audience, give my audience a little bit of your biography and tell us a little bit more about yourself. Go right ahead.
So, George, first of all, thank you for having me here. And it's only through people like you and shows like you that the truth and the real important information gets to the hearts and to the bodies of the people who need that. Okay, so I'm really grateful for being here.
Thank you.
I've been doing this work in one way or another all my life. I was always interested not just in sex, but also in healing women and empowering women. So my sexual experiences were not just about pleasure, were really about healing and therapy and holding space for them and so on. And then I became really sexually active. I studied Tantra. I lived for 7 years in a tropical island in a tantric community. There was a lot of great stuff going on, had a lot of sex. And again, the sex wasn't just a numbers game, but with nearly every lover I had, I was also practicing sexual healing with her. I was having amazing experiences with women that helping them to heal sexual trauma and rape and abuse and pain during sex and so on, helping them have their first orgasm or the best orgasms in their life. And women start telling me, you should turn this into a service. You should do this as a professional paid service. And I thought, who? Me, I'm not good enough, you know, I'm not certified, I'm not as good as my teacher is, and so on. And somebody told me, you're already doing it, so just do it. So I started offering that, and immediately start doing tons of sessions, tons of bodywork sessions. Start doing coaching as well, so for people who were not in my vicinity or were not ready for bodywork, I was also doing consultations. And nowadays, I work with people all over the world via Skype. I published a mini best-selling book called Orgasm Unleashed, which is a orgasm guide for women. Yes, I'm doing a lot of work around bringing sexual empowerment, not just to people, but to professionals in the coaching, wellness, well-being, fitness, health, education, personal development, and spiritual wellness. So this is a little bit about me.
Yeah, that sounds good. This is the first time I've ever heard. I might be a little naive on this, but this is the first time I've heard of sexual empowerment. So basically, it sounds like a good thing. I mean, people are in need of a lot of things. I'm assuming it's sexual empowerment also. So basically, you're using your experience with having sex with so many women, and you've discovered so many sexual problems, or if I'm saying it correctly, and you're turning that into to help women all around the world in some cases.
Yeah.
With this problem.
I know that, you know, some people might be listening and they're saying, who the F is this guy, you know, thinking that he's knowing something about us and just having lots of sex and so on. And I get this. You keep hearing this from men all the time that think that they know what they're doing and what they're saying. I totally get this. And this is the problem in society. Men and women are not educated about what it is to be a man and a woman. What does it mean to have pleasure? What great sex can be, and how to have that, how to touch another person, how to pleasure another person, and so on. Okay. You know? So I don't accuse them.
Okay. Yes. So please. How would you, I mean, you've had sex with many women, you say here. How do you actually, let's say if somebody is, you know, naive on this, how do you actually please a woman? Because I know if you please a woman and if you give her the pleasure she wants, she will be coming back for more. So a lot of men.
Yes. Yes. Okay. So that's a great question. And the first thing that I would suggest both men and women is to learn how to pleasure and empower themselves. Hmm. And that is a little bit of a, you know, it's like, I'm going to get back to your question, but if you allow me to just, you know, share that for a moment. Sure. Most people are, is that cool with you, George?
Pardon me?
Is that cool with you? I'm just going to segue.
Yeah, I said sure. No
awesome.
Problem.
Thank you. So most people are focused on what can I do for another person, which is great. But many times you first need to connect to your own pleasure, to your own masculinity and femininity, to your own body, to your own sensations in order to learn how to do this for another person. Okay, so if you only focused on pleasing, pleasuring, giving, and so on, you might be okay with it, but you miss the deeper parts of it. So sometimes in order to help somebody to be in their pleasure, you need to learn how to be in yours. And I see this a lot with guys that everything they do is technical. So I'm also a dance teacher, and I'm teaching sensual dance and orgasmic dance and so on. And I see guys, they're trying to do the moves, but it doesn't come from the feeling of their own body. So the most important practice I would suggest both men and women is self-pleasuring without a goal and without finishing. Okay, so actually guys can experience amazing whole body orgasms without finishing, and they can use this energy not just for pleasure, but to empower themselves, to become more powerful and more confident. And women as well, they can have a self-pleasuring practice, and there's different kinds of orgasms that women can experience as well. And once you do this every day for 30 days or for 60 days, you will become, both men and women, much more orgasmic. You'll have new kinds of sensations, new kinds of experiences. And this is the first step in learning how to pleasure another person. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it makes sense. Do you think that, all of it makes sense. You know, I mean, I'm going to talk about your book later. Do you think that having great sex is a good thing to make a marriage or a relationship grow?
Yes. Yes, totally. And you just have to look at the statistics. Yeah, it's like the marriage organization, let's call it construct, is problematic. Okay, there's the statistics is one out of every two marriages fail. Some people even say two out of every three marriages fail, and the rates of infidelity are huge. Okay, so 40 to 60% of people in marriages cheat on their partner, and one of the biggest reason that people who cheat give why they cheated is because they were sexually not satisfied. Okay, and by the way, it's not just men who cheat, it's also women who cheat. Everybody cheats.
And so
improving a sex life is really one of the secrets and one of the most important things in keeping your marriage or your relationship, even if you're not married, keeping your relationship alive. You know? Mm-hmm. So again, I would go back to the self-pleasuring idea and then learn how to connect with your partner. So, for example, let go of the goal, even let go of the goal of orgasm, because once you put a expectation on your partner to orgasm, and I hear this from many women that I work with, you know, they feel like, oh, my partner wants to do everything for me, wants to please me, but I feel pressured to orgasm. So instead, the first thing that I would say, I like speaking in memes because I think in memes. So I say, yeah. if you wanna have great sex, slow the F down. Okay, mm-hmm. And this is one thing that I see people, they rush. They do everything strong and fast and hard because this is what they watch in porn. Okay, so first of all, if you wanna explore the orgasm, yeah. you never see soft, slow sex in porn, yeah? It's like, I don't hardly ever see that.
Yeah. I haven't watched porn in a while, you know, so I haven't watched it in a while, so you know, I'm not too yeah. So I couldn't tell you anything about it.
Yeah, I mean that's cool and that's great because that's how mm-hmm. I started, I didn't watch porn and I hardly watched porn in my life, and this is why I'm not programmed to act and to relate with women in the way that porn shows you. But for those people who did watch porn, you know, it's always strong, fast, hard, big, intense, loud, and so on. And the first thing that I would say is chill out. And, you know, for example, hold your partner in your hands and just focus on the feelings in your body and how your body meets their body. Okay, start
do
with
you
that
think
before
okay
yeah
I don't mean to interrupt you, but do you think some people use porn to learn how to actually please their partner? They use for that.
that's a good point, and yes, people do that, and porn is an epidemic, but porn specifically is not a problem. Porn is a symptom of a problem. So because there's no sexual education, because there's no sexual empowerment, because actually, by the way, you in the US, you think you're all, you know, sexually liberated and whatever. Sorry to say, it's like the world is not sexually liberated. The world is still sexually yeah. repressed. And mm-hmm. people think that they're going to watch people having sex on porn and they're going to learn something. But actually,
yes,
it messes up. It messes up with your brain, you know, so that you're there's scientific studies that show that men who watch porn, and women who watch porn, by the way, one out of every three porn users are women, their brain chemistry changes, okay? So they get, it's literally a drug. It's not like a drug, it's literally a drug because it feeds into the instant gratification mechanisms of your brain and it makes you addicted. So yeah, porn is a huge problem. And I would say it's like, what is it that you're trying to get by watching porn? Why are you watching porn? What is it that you're trying to compensate for? And isn't it better if you learn how to connect with real people? Maybe they don't look like the people in the porn movies, but they're real.
Yeah. Yeah. One more question. Do you think that women are more sexual than men?
I think that both men and women are much more sexual than what either of us would believe and imagine. Uh-huh. But we have different ways of being sexual. Okay, so for men, it's more in the mind and it's more visual in some ways. So when a man is horny, a man would feel it more. It's like he wants to have sex. A woman would feel it in her body, so her body would ache. And this is something that I hear from women. It's like the body gets painful. Yeah. When a woman wants to be penetrated, it's like her vagina becomes like pleasantly painful, if that makes sense. Okay, so there's mm-hmm. the feeling of I want to be penetrated. But generally, yeah. I would say that, you know, we both have the masculine and the feminine, and all of us are craving both love and sex. And love and sex don't have to go with each other, but it's great if they do. So most wow. people are more sexual than you would imagine. Most people are not aware that you can experience a 1 hour orgasm or 2 hour orgasm, and you can literally be in an orgasmic state as a man or as a woman, you know, for at least, you know, 10 minutes in an orgasmic state, or for, you know, longer than that.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, in my thinking, I'm thinking that women are more sexual than men because, I don't know. I just think they are for some reason. I just think they're, you know, I mean, in my experiences, it's, you know, I don't want to really go there. So, but anyway, thanks for being on the show. Tell us about your book. Where can we find your book? Give us a website to where people can go find you and get some more information on this.
Cool. So obviously for everything that I'm mentioning, there's a lot more. There's literally, you know, days and days and days of workshops and so on. Yeah. So the first thing to get is the book. The book is available at orgasmunleashed.com.
Okay. And you can Orgasm Unleashed.
Amazon. Yes. Okay. So it's the name of the book. You can find a lot on intimatepower.com. Intimate like intimacy, not like the internet. Okay, so intimatepower.com. And there's also an ejaculation control program for men. There's also videos on yoni massage or vaginal massage. There's videos of me bringing women to whole body orgasmic states without touching their genitals, or sometimes with touching their genitals in another video. There's a lot there. And another link, if I may?
Yeah, sure. No, sure.
Yeah, awesome. So I'm basically not just, you know, running, you know, a service or a business or whatever, but I'm literally creating a social movement. So there's two communities on Facebook, which are called the Sexual Empowerment for Women and Sexual Empowerment for Men communities. And this is where you can express what's alive for you, what's challenging for you. You can receive guidance for me and other men and women who are on this path, and it's a really beautiful place to be in and to receive guidance and to share your challenges. Okay, so really don't remember that you're not alone in this, and there's other people who can support you. And thank you very much, George, for having me on the show, and I would gladly bring this knowledge, bring this experiences to any professional in this field, to any podcaster or somebody with a radio show, because this information needs to get to the people who need it. So thank you very much for having me, buddy.
I totally agree with you and this information, because I say some of it's new to me, because you're talking about some of your experiences that led you to want to do this. And I think it's a great thing. And I think it's something that's people, men, women, and people should all, you know, try to learn a little bit more about, because this is happening all around the world. I think people should be sexually empowered as much as possible, as long as, you know, it'll keep relationships together, marriages together, because, you know, besides money and everything else, you do need to have good sex within a relationship that will,
sex brings you money without becoming a prostitute, by the way. It's like, I know we kind of like finished, but just to finish off, so to speak, with this idea, sexuality impacts every area of your life. It's not just about sex. It impacts your mental, emotional well-being, your health, how confident you are around other people and at the office, how creative you are. Okay, so there's an article that I wrote, which is how great sex transforms your life. So I'll be happy to share, to send this link to whoever emails me if you don't find it. So
I was going to say, we're going to have you back on the show, and things like that. You can talk a little bit more about it, but right now we're out of time. So I want to thank you for being on the show and providing us with so much vital information on sexual empowerment.
Thank you very much. All the best. Have a great evening.
Bye-bye. You too. All right. That was sexual empowerment, something that a lot of us probably can learn a little bit more about. We're going to take a break right here, and we will be, let's see what we can do. We will be right back. Hi, everybody. The George Wilder Jr. Show is now on the air.
Freedom. This is what I call. Well, I wanna say, I wanna tell you, I wanna say it. When you can do what you wanna do and go where you wanna go and live where you wanna live,
Ron, I don't know. We were going to have a little more fun tonight about this crazy name calling, but my God, this is much more important than the name calling, calling people, you know, dead eyes, what's his name, or whatever latest little moniker he throws at somebody. Mueller's not going to be best with it. Mueller's now getting this information as we're getting it.
Johansson is speaking right now here in Washington. I want to listen in.
And when the time came for STD and cancer screenings, no judgment, no questions asked, Planned Parenthood provided a safe place where I could be treated with gentle guidance. Now, I may have been 15 and surprisingly self-sufficient, but I'm sure there isn't one person here who has not been helped by Planned Parenthood directly or otherwise. When I knew I was coming to speak on behalf of women's reproductive and health issues, every single one of my girlfriends had a story about Planned Parenthood. They saved me so many times. One of my best girlfriends confided in me, saying, "They saved my ass and some other parts too." When I found out I had precancerous signs I never would have known about without my annual checkups, and her speech grew more emphatic and emotional as she described how the organization had helped her decide between treatment options. She was able to make some difficult decisions, deciding what was right for her body and her then partner, without anyone else's interference. My sister also used Planned Parenthood services for years after moving states. She'd been living her whole life in New York City, pursuing her dream to move to California. She had no contacts and no health insurance, but was able to regularly see a doctor at a Planned Parenthood clinic for screenings, advice, birth control, and checkups. For the more than 2.5 million patients a year that rely on Planned Parenthood services for cancer and STD screenings, birth control, safe abortion, and pregnancy planning, these are uncertain and anxious times. Lawmakers in 24 states have tried to block patients from receiving care at Planned Parenthood. Congress has voted to limit access to reproductive services 9 times. Boo. Yes, boo. There are very real and devastating consequences to limiting access to what should be considered basic health care. For millions of Americans, Planned Parenthood is often the only trustworthy and affordable clinic providing safe education, sex education, safe abortion, and life-saving services. President Trump, I did not vote for you. That said, I respect that you are our president-elect, and I want to be able to support you. But first, I ask that you support me. Support my sister. Support my mother. Support my best friend and all of our girlfriends. Support the men and women here today that are anxiously awaiting to see how your next moves may drastically affect their lives. Support my daughter, who may actually, as a result of the appointments you have made, grow up in a country that is moving backwards, not forwards, and who may potentially not have the right to make choices for her body and her future that your daughter Ivanka has been privileged to have. I ask you to support all women and our fight for equality in all things, including the fight to be recognized as individuals who know better for ourselves what is right for our bodies, better than any elected official, popular or otherwise. It is a great honor for me to be speaking here in front of all of you today. After the result of this November's election, I felt as a woman, as an American citizen, a great weight bearing down on my shoulders, the feeling that the near future would present many obstacles, confrontation, and division. My immediate thought after hearing the election results was, oh man, we have so much work to do. But once the heaviness began to subside, I realized that an opportunity has presented itself to make real long-term change, not just for future Americans, but in the way that we view our responsibilities to get involved with and stay active in our communities. Let this weight not drag you down, but help to get your heels stuck in. I pledge my relentless devotion to support women's health care initiatives. I will not stop fighting to make basic women's health care available to all. I believe with every fiber of my being that the conversations that we have with our partners and our doctors about what we do with our bodies and our future should not be made fodder for any politician, political agenda, lawmaker, and for-profit corporations. We must stand up for what are our basic human rights and always move forward, never backwards. The current political administration benefits from taking the power away from us. Don't give up your power. Don't let the feelings of helplessness make you complacent. I urge you all to make a difference on the ground. Volunteer. Volunteer with organizations that help women seeking a safe place to make some of the most difficult decisions of their lives. Donate to causes.
It is the resistance report for June 1st, 2017.
All right, Robert Reich.
A day that, while it might not live in infamy, it certainly is a sad and even harrowing day in the United States and around the world. Today is the day that Donald Trump decided that he would withdraw the United States from the Paris Climate Accord, putting the United States in the company of only two nations around the world who have not joined the Paris Accord. And one was Nicaragua. Nicaragua said it was not going to join because the accord was not strong enough. And the other nation that did not join, the United States is now with, is Syria. And Syria didn't join because Syria had a government that was and still is in the midst of a civil war and just couldn't get it together to join. Every other nation in the world, including North Korea, has joined the Paris Accord. There is absolutely no reason, no excuse, no justification for the United States to not be part of an effort to save the planet. What did Donald Trump use today as his justification? The real justification, you know, is to reward the base. His base, his supporters who he feels and some of his advisors feel have been disappointed so far because he hasn't delivered on almost anything he promised. One thing he promised was to get out of the Paris Climate Accord, and his advisors and Donald Trump felt, well, he could deliver on that today, despite the fact that most business executives around America, despite the fact that almost all scientists, despite the fact that his very own daughter, most reasonable people who understand what's at stake told him not to do it, he did it anyway. And he gave a speech that was just filled with lies. Let's just not beat around the bush. Donald Trump continues to lie. In fact, his whole climate approach has been based on a tissue of lies from the beginning. During the campaign, he said he wasn't convinced that there was climate change, certainly that it was not caused by human beings.
Who cares what he thinks?
And then today in the Rose Garden, what did he say? He said he claimed the Paris Accord would cost the United States 2.7 million jobs by 2025. That is absolute rubbish. Where did he get that figure, that 2.7 million jobs by 2025? From a report commissioned by the U.S. Chamber of Commerce, by industry, and even the authors of the report, even its own authors, said that the research doesn't take into account the potential benefits from avoiding emissions. That study also assumed that energy prices stayed exactly the same as in by the year 2025 as they are today, took absolutely no account of any job growth with regard to solar or wind, nor the potential health benefits, nor any other benefits. In other words, it was a sham study created by the industry to give Trump a talking point. And it was baloney. Last year, the truth is, and make sure you spread the truth, because we are under a tyrant who tells lies and justifies things that are absolutely against the public interest, against the world's interest, with a tissue of lies. The truth is that last year, for example, more than twice as many people were employed in the solar industry alone than in coal mining. Coal mining is something that Donald Trump thinks he's going to protect. Well, if you want to go, if you want jobs, go to solar. Go to wind. Between 2010 and 2016, solar grew by over 20% every year. The renewable energy sector is not only creating more jobs than fossil fuels, but also it has a larger multiplier effect. That is, for every job created, those jobs generate even more jobs than in the fossil fuel business. $1 million spent on fossil fuels supports the equivalent of 2.6 full-time jobs. You spend that $1 million on renewables and you get 7 jobs. That's just simple mathematics. So his lie is not just a lie, it is overlooking where the real jobs are, where the real job growth is. I mean, look at the Keystone XL pipeline, for example. The Keystone XL pipeline will only take how many workers to maintain? 50 workers to maintain the Keystone XL pipeline. Donald Trump is talking about this accord eliminating 2.7 million jobs. Well, by not being in the accord, we are actually reducing our capacity to generate even millions of jobs. We're letting China and Germany and Japan become the world leaders in renewable energy.
Senators try to quiet here.
Other whoppers in today's statement from the Rose Garden. Trump says China will be allowed to build hundreds of additional coal plants, so we can't build the plants, but they can, according to this agreement. That is utter rubbish. It's rubbish because the agreement actually was based upon voluntary limits set by each nation. It doesn't say anything about coal. And the fact of the matter is, China has actually reduced its coal emissions and its reliance on coal dramatically. It has cut its use of coal 3 years in a row. What is Donald Trump talking about? He says even if the Paris Agreement were implemented in full, it would only reduce emissions by 0.2 degrees. That is the effect it would have on the climate. Only 0.2 degrees. Tiny, tiny amount, he says. Well, this is not only misleading, because you got to start somewhere, right? Tackle climate problems. You set a base. You get industry moving toward technological solutions. You get the ball rolling. But by dropping out of the Paris Accord, you're going in the opposite direction. And then he says, and this is a real whopper, he says, you need more energy sources in the United States beyond renewables to support 3 or 4% growth, which I expect we will need all forms of available energy. Our country will be at grave risk of brownouts or blackouts. This also is utter rubbish, utter baloney. Where does economic growth come from? It comes from population growth, and it comes from productivity improvements. We are getting, and we're getting, productivity improvements out of the renewable energy. What is he talking about in terms of not having enough energy for 3 or 4% growth? He doesn't know what he's talking about. He says India will be allowed to double its coal production by 2020. Think of it. India can double their coal production. We're supposed to get rid of ours. Again, utter nonsense, utter rubbish. Each country sets its own goals, its own standards, its own ways of getting there. And then finally, a final whopper. There are so many lies, but let me just give you a final one I picked out of what he said today. He said, beyond the severe energy restrictions, The Paris Accord includes yet another scheme to redistribute wealth out of the United States through the so-called Green Climate Fund. Nice name, which calls for developed countries to send $100 billion to developing countries. Well, let me tell you the truth. In the Paris Accord, there was an agreement by developed countries, advanced nations, to provide $100 billion, eventually $100 billion a year, to developing nations to mitigate the effects on their economies of dealing with climate change. The United States has already given the Green Climate Fund $1 billion. What is Trump describes that $1 billion that we've already given to the Green Climate Fund as costing the United States, he said, a vast fortune, unquote. $1 billion. Well, it sounds like a fortune, doesn't it? It is a rounding error in the federal budget. The federal budget, remember, totals for last year $3.9 trillion. Can we spare $1 billion of that $3.9 trillion to help developing nations cope with global warming? Of course, and of course we should. So far, the largest global polluters have been the United States and Russia and Europe and China. Developing nations, they want to advance. If we want them to advance and also advance in a way that doesn't make the planet uninhabitable, we've got to give them some remuneration. It is only fair. The goal of that funding, by the way, is to help nudge developing nations toward cleaner energy like wind and solar. Instead, if the funding succeeds in lowering emissions by developing nations, who gets the advantage? The United States. Europe. Developed nations. By helping nations that are especially vulnerable prepare for the effects of climate change, we would also prevent or minimize the kind of refugee crises that can destabilize entire regions because of climate change. That's what's going on right now. Does Donald Trump not understand any of this? Of course, he must. He's not a raving lunatic, is he?
Yes, he is. Some people would think so. Raving lunatic. Robin Reich on the George Wilder Jr. Show. Okay.
You are now listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Block Talk Radio.
Okay, earlier today on the show, right here, WTTY out of Chicago, I was talking about Jeff Sessions, the Attorney General of the United States. He was on Capitol Hill today. And all he did was deny. He denied four times. Okay, Sessions denied major allegations against him with regard to Russia, regard to the Russia investigation. All right, number one, he denied that he purposely left out his two 2016 meetings with Russia. The Russians at his confirmation hearings. Okay, that's his first denial. Okay, his second denial was he denied that he had a third undisclosed private one-on-one conversation with the Russian ambassador. All of these are lies. Third, he denied that he recused himself from overseeing the Russia investigation because he wasn't forthcoming about Russia meetings. And fourth, he denied that he violated any recusal by advising the president to fire. Oh, that's definitely a lie. That's totally a lie. Okay, he denied fourth. He denied that he violated his recusal by advising the president to fire FBI Director James Comey. Now, in that setting, when you recuse yourself of something, you're not involved in it. You're not supposed to even go nowhere near it. He recused himself, but then he advised President Trump on, or Trump advised him either way, on the firing of FBI Director James Comey. And he goes on to say, supervising all the federal agencies in my responsibility, trying to get the very best people in those agencies. Oh, give me a break. At the top of agencies, at the top of them is my responsibility. The only thing he's getting is ass kissers for Trump. I mean, Trump's gonna, he's gonna vet them purely and to see if they're going to be his peasants. And so this guy, as I was saying in the beginning, this guy has done nothing but deny and say he doesn't recall or I don't remember. That's two of the greatest things you can say to try to, for not giving out information that you're supposed to give out and trying to, you're under oath, so you're trying not to perjure yourself. And perjury means to lie. And Sessions is one of the biggest liars there is. He's probably the second biggest liar to Donald Trump. There's no doubt about that, you know. So this saga is going to keep playing out. It's going to play out until it, you know, Donald Trump cannot govern like this. He cannot get anything through Congress like this. His policy and everything else is on hold. The things he's trying to get through, the legislation like health care, his budget and infrastructure, all of this stuff is on hold. All of this stuff and more is on hold because of what's going on now. And by Sessions not answering direct questions, this is just going to prolong this. What he's doing, he's aiding and abetting Donald Trump. There's no doubt about that. He's aiding and abetting Donald Trump. I mean, I'm pretty sure before his talk on Capitol Hill, I'm pretty sure him and Donald Trump discuss what will be said and what not will be said. I mean, Donald Trump's got it. He's got everybody's number on this who work in his circle. He's got their number. If they're going to testify, he's going to talk to them first. You know, he's going to try to obstruct, and obstruct some more and think that's the right way to do things. Donald Trump doesn't give a shit about the Constitution. It's just toilet paper for him. He doesn't care about anything. He wants to be a dictator. And that's what he's out to be, which is a dictator. It's just somebody who just, says do this, do that. No back talk or you're fired. That's a dictator. There's no judges. He can't stand judges. You know, I mean, you know, that's what he wants. He wants to say and do things at whim. And he doesn't want back talk. He doesn't want any interference. He doesn't want courts. He doesn't want judges. He doesn't want protesters. He just wants whatever comes out of his mouth. That's what he wants right then and there without any consequences. Donald Trump doesn't even want to go to Congress there. He's done quite a few things without notifying Congress. And that's not a good thing. He can't unilaterally act on anything. You know, so this is Donald Trump. He wants to say and do things because he's Donald Trump. Donald Trump is about Donald Trump, not the United States. Donald Trump likes to win. He couldn't give a damn about whether the United States wins or not. This man is a mess. All right. As I was saying earlier, I mean, for Sessions to not to say anything, plead the fifth, or I don't recall, or I can't remember. In my estimation, this is a total sign of guilt. He's guilty. You know, so this is crazy. I know social media is buzzing on this. And there are probably some of those people who actually sat down and watched this garbage are probably saying, I've wasted my time. This guy didn't say anything. Why would he want to put America through this? Why would he want to put the intel community through this? Why would he want to put himself through this if he knows he's not going to say anything? And he's going to, you know, lick Trump's boots, you know, at this meeting, because that's all he's done. they're both in it. They're both in this as thick as you can get. And I'm hoping that this special prosecutor comes out with something, because Trump was saying earlier that someone said, one of his friends who heard this from the White House came out and said that Trump was thinking about firing the special prosecutor. And everybody was saying, don't do that, Trump, don't do that. I mean, just for him considering on firing Robert Mueller, the special prosecutor in the Russian case, it's an admission of guilt. And I do believe if Trump decides to fire this guy, impeachment would be more prominent than ever. Every day there's something coming out of the Trump's White House, And Trump has a knack for changing the direction, changing the narrative, creating a distraction on what is being talked about at the very moment. Currently, he knows how to change the narrative on what, and we all know that he's got to be stupid to think we're stupid and that we can't figure that out. You know, tomorrow there's going to be something new coming out of the Trump White House. You know, maybe in an hour or so, maybe a minute from now, something is always coming out negatively, coming out of the Trump's White House. Jeff Sessions, for instance, I think he just wasted everybody's time. Even the viewers, he wasted everybody's time. And social media has just cracked up on him wasting everybody's time, not answering the questions, afraid that he's going to perjure himself, which probably he would have, because this stinks. This really stinks. This stinks to high heaven, folks. And like I said before, this is like nothing the United States have ever seen before. And I can say it for the state of Illinois. We have been 3 years without a budget. This is something like the state of Illinois has never seen. We have a rogue governor, just like we have a rogue president. And they both are Republicans. So this is what I'm saying to people out there. We've got to get out there and vote. You want to change the direction. The reason why we're in this mess is because a lot of people didn't vote, or they were so pissed off at Obama and Hillary and the Democrats. They voted Republican, and this is what you've given us. But that can be rectified. It can be rectified. All you got to do is vote these assholes out. You know, turn Congress over to the other party, because this party is just S-H-I-T. And it has to happen, folks. It has to happen. We've got to change the way things are going on in our country. This is our country. Trump is only in the White House for a short time, hopefully a very short time. And then someone else is going to take over. You know, Trump wants to be, he's not going to be president forever as he wants to be. He wants to be president forever. I mean, he wants to change the White House to Trump House. In some cases, some people are calling it Trump House, you know, but level-headed people are not calling it Trump House. You know, so we're going to have to get out here and change. We are the ones who can make the change. We have to do this. Congress is not going to do it. Paul Ryan is not going to do it. The representatives in Congress are not going to do it. The House of Representatives, the people, we have to do it. We have to get out here and make those changes, because they are very, very needed right now. Our country is in jeopardy. Our country is in turmoil right now. And the people who put it in turmoil are sitting in that White House. And we have to make a really big change come November 2018.
Heaven help the up the roses if the bombs begin to fall. Heaven help the black man if he struggles one more day. Heaven help the white man if he turns back away. Heaven help the man who kicks the man who has a claw. Heaven help us all.
All right, you've been listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show. We got about 20 seconds left into the show. I want to thank everybody for tuning into the George Wilder Jr. Show, for listening, downloading, podcasting, you know, emailing and inboxing and stuff like that. Take care, everybody, and I hope you join me tomorrow on the George Wilder Jr. Show. It's been fun. Bye-bye.